What's up, Dan?
Hey, Derek. Man, it's been a dog's age since I've seen you. So,
dog's age.
It's 7 years.
So,
all right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how it works at all.
Hey.
But I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I'm here. Look, Derek, we had a conversation. We were in Maryland at the Steve's Truth Hike. Last week. And we're out to breakfast with Steve and Bubba Hogan.
Well, is it Bubba? We'll talk about that later.
That's another episode. Bubba's laughing right now because he knows. But, you know, the conversation came up is like gaining people's trust. And this is like the conversation. So you guys are listening here, get to hear what happens behind the curtain. What do we talk about when we get alone? We start talking about podcasts and ideas and things that people really want to hear. And it's something that we recognize that there's a certain point in a conversation you're having with a client, whether you're having in a relationship or just having with just somebody where you feel you gain that trust. It's like a green light goes on. It's like, okay, we're off to the races now. They trust me. And now they're going to open their pockets or be honest with me about what they truly want to get to have happen in their space or in their project or even with money. So, Derek, can you pinpoint the exact time that happens in a conversation for you?
You feel it. It's actually on my BG90 call yesterday. No, I digress. On my Sales Dojo call yesterday, I was called out because I did not dig as deep in the motive and the pain that we train and teach. And I was asked why. And I said, you start to develop an intuition. You start to develop a gut when you do this, how you communicate and how you work through this. You start feeling it. So I didn't dig into the pain anymore because I felt like I was going to go past where I needed to be. So I settled into it. So yes, I can pinpoint during the conversation now where the trust is being gained and given. So yes, I can tell. I can hear it. I can feel it even. But this is, we've been doing this, Tim, 9 years, 8 years. And when you focus, I mean, we're well over 10,000 hours on training of communication and Shinfu. I mean, truly. So yeah, I can tell when the trust is not there for sure.
Yeah. Like when you drop that number and they lose their shit, right?
Yeah. It's like, well, that's not good.
I'm sure that's going to be beeped out. I said the shit word again. Damn it. Oh, there again.
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah. You know, Derek, I know when I say, and I know I want y'all who are listening, right? When you drop a number on somebody and you tell them good, better, best, or the way we train, right? The good, better, best, or medium, middle of the road, flipping a house, keeping it, going to die in it type of thing. When we drop that number on somebody, you can feel the temperature of the conversation change. Because if we're saying, if they're thinking in their head, they're saying, well, they're thinking $100,000 and $200,000 comes out of our mouth. They're going to like open their, they're going to be like this honest, there's a pill they take that speaks honesty. They're just going to be honest with what the real number is. That is, for me, is a switch. But I want to back that up. There's a part of the conversation in the beginning. Like, we're trying to be Mr. Nice Guy. Oh, you have golden retrievers? Oh, I have golden retrievers. Or, oh, you're married with three kids? Oh, I'm married with three kids. It's like, that's a phony front. There's a part that changes where everything flips. And I can see it. And I know it. If I ask the right question and they open up and start spilling all over me, I know. It's like, and I don't want to be crude about it. It's like setting the drag when you're fishing.
Yeah.
Right? You know when you've got them bought into that, it's a genuine conversation and they trust you. And you're not just selling them. Because, look, Derek, you and I talk about this for years. I don't sell things.
No.
I just help them figure out what they want. And offering them a bracketed price with solutions. And that's it.
It's that simple. It's just that simple to express what you're going to do and help them get where they want to go. So I'm standing in a yard yesterday and customer decides they want to, this water feature is put in June and they decide they wanted to go bigger. And I suggested, hey, you may want to consider going a little bit bigger. You have a little more space here, just throwing it out there. No, we're going to stay with this one. So I'm out there yesterday. I'm standing in the space. And I take the good old marking paint, and I mark out a big old area, big area. And customer comes out and says, you know, graffiti's supposed to be on trains and walls. What's going on in my yard?
Yeah.
It's good sense of humor. And he's like, all right, what am I looking at? And I said, money or vision? And he said, well, money. And I'd already pulled up my package on my phone because I wanted to show that to him. And he said, no, it's like, what's this going to cost me? I said, $132,000. As if I said $132.
Yeah.
I'm so comfortable now. That used to freak me out, but it's just a number. I mean, what, he's not going to put me in a headlock. You know, it's
hope
like,
not, no.
Would you, no. And he went, did you just pull that number like right out of your ass or something? And I was like, no. And I literally just took my phone and said, here it is. And he went, oh, so talk about trust. Mm. He went, oh, I was like, here's the package. Like, I don't have my glasses on. Like, you know, send it to me so I can look at it. And he goes and he comes back out and jokes and says, or actually his assistant says, you know, you've been wanting to get rid of that Audi. I think he said A1. I'm not sure which Audi it is, but it's the hot rod. Like, it's the legit one.
Yeah.
And he said, you've been wanting to get rid of that. That's probably about right. You want to trade for a car? I was like, yes. Crazier things have happened. Let me look at this Audi. I don't know. But it was fun. So as he comes back out, he's like, yeah, we'll go ahead and go with this. This is good. So that is truly gaining the trust of a simple, I gave them a number, but also had something to back up and literally show them what it would cost.
Yeah, I would suppose that if somebody, again, if you backed up or you proved, like, I just didn't pull this number out, and whether you drive an A1 or you drive a Ford pickup truck or whatever it is you drive, the number is a number is a number. And that's credibility. That's trust. Because I would think, Derek, if people have a lot of money, sometimes they mistrust and think somebody's going to take advantage of them.
Of course. That's a big deal. You know, when you get in those areas of your town, whatever town that is, we all have one or two or three. They always, not always, you hear that, oh, because I live over here, you added a couple of zeros.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes that away.
If you're tired of being told you're too expensive and being ghosted by prospects after you've spent hours in the bidding process with them, I want to give you a free resource today. Go to thecontractorfight.com/cheap, C-H-E-A-P, and grab our guide to spotting cheap prospects. Go through that and equip yourself so that you can see the time wasters coming a mile away. Go to thecontractorfight.com/cheap and grab it today.
Because this is a podcast, right? And we're sales trainers. We teach people how to sell. Let's leave a little something here for people who are not in the battleground, right? Mm-hmm. To help them a little bit with their sales game. I'm going to tell you how you get that trust. Okay. So listen up. Calibrated questions. Mm-hmm. Open-ended.
Open-ended.
Open-ended calibrated questions. What kind of questions would you consider like an open-ended, Derek? How do these sentences start?
How are you hoping I can help?
Beautiful. I love it.
Is it okay if I just sit here and listen for a few minutes?
I love that.
Actually,
one.
That's not open-ended. That's closing. But that is allowing. Yeah. That is something I do regularly when I'm on the phone. It's just basically what I'm saying is you're important. And I'm just going to listen for a few minutes. Just talk to me.
I love it. How long do you want to do this project? Mm. Right.
Could you tell me about some problems that you've had with this project?
Oh my gosh. When you're asking people to share something, I mean, honestly, Derek, most people will never get these kind of questions from the family members and people that love them.
Yeah. And what's a sign that everybody's wearing, Tim?
I don't know. There's a lot of signs. I will make me feel important.
It's the imaginary sign. Yes. It's an imaginary sign that says, make me feel important. How do you make someone feel important? You make it about them. And when I was speaking with that client yesterday, he's quite the gentleman. He's traveled the world and he actually gets a text while we're talking. And he doesn't say, you know, let me get this text. When he's done, he said, I apologize. What you're saying is really important. So please repeat that. Which just made me feel nice. I was just telling a simple story, but it was just the acknowledgement from that. He lit up my imaginary sign just by saying that. What you're saying is important. Please repeat that.
Yeah. There was something similar to your story about, you know, we're talking about gaining trust and just being feeling important. I was on a call. It was day before yesterday with a client, a prospect, not a client. And he had a water feature for the sake of conversation, and it had a leak. It was built 20 years ago, and he's been dealing with this leak for 20 years. For 20 years, man, he's been adding water.
Oof.
I'm thinking to myself, and if the old Tim would said, well, he's had this for 20 years, that means he probably paid like $500 for the feature 20 years ago. And I'm looking at this thing as I could put this in the ground for $28,000. So no matter what number is going to come out of my mouth, just for a repair, it's going to be more than he's ever paid for the whole feature.
Wow.
That's crazy, right?
I mean, that is crazy.
And you get inside your head real quick. But here it is, Derek. And when you go back to what you say, what your prices are, you're on your website. What repairs, the average repair cost may be on your website. So when these numbers come out of your mouth, I mean, he's telling me this, he's telling me that. It's like, so how often do you think you got to go out there and tap top this water off? You must have somebody to do this for you.
Yeah, water's cheap. Right. I always like that one. Water's cheap. You don't hate the earth, right?
It's going back where you got it from, back to the earth.
It's no big deal.
Right.
Waste.
But, you know, the conversation, you know, and he was tough in giving me information because I think he felt standoffish that, oh, my God, this guy's going to beat me up. I've seen his website. I can see he does high-end stuff. But when the conversation, you know, he started talking and asking questions like, well, you know, what have you tried? And, you know, share with me exactly how bad this is on a scale of 1 to 10. And he's telling me these things. And then he finally, look, I'm going to give you a number. It's going to be more than you probably even paid for this feature, and I don't want you to hang up on me.
I love how you set that up. Get in front of it, little Vanguard, about to drop the shoe on you.
Yeah. And I looked at this thing. I says, you tell me that this thing is, you know, 8 feet long, this waterfall, and you want it rebuilt. Means I'm going to have to take this thing apart. I'm going to have to put a new liner in here. I'm going to have to reconfigure this whole thing. And it's never going to look the same because I'm going to touch these rocks and they're not going to go back where they are. So it's going to look different. And you have to be okay with that. Again, the Vanguard.
Yep.
And I said, you know, we're looking somewhere between $6,500 and $5,500. And it was like, Derek, it was like a long pause.
Ooh, he was STFU and you.
And I'm, you know, I'm hesitant because I want to say, are you still there?
You can't. You can't do it. You have to wait.
Very silent. Yep. That's all I heard. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. I go, yep. And he says, yeah. He says, that's what I figured.
That's good to hear.
And I go, cool. So what do you want to do?
What do we do next?
Yep. What do we do next? What would you like to do next? An open-ended question. Yep. That's simple as that, dude. But here's a guy. That's what I figured. I says, look, you sound like an older guy. It's just the sound of your voice and all that. Respectfully, he goes, no, I'm in my 70s. I was like, cool. I'm like, who else is involved with this thing? Well, you can just come over and meet my wife. It's like, yeah. So we'll go down that road. But
yep.
I could feel the temperature change as soon as I dropped that price, and he was okay with it. And not saying I was a slam dunk, but I could tell that he was willing. And honestly, Derek, I couldn't get him off the phone after that because he started talking about, hey, what about these plants? And maybe if we could make some changes around the pond. I'm like, so he had more money. He was willing to talk about that. That's
and you just had a conversation with somebody. And you just made him feel important. You asked the right questions. That's where the trust is formed. And your price was within reason to where he wanted to be. So now he's loosening the purse strings.
You know, having commonalities with people builds a bond. Say, for instance, Derek, say you and I are going off to a resort in another country, right? It's an adult resort, so you don't have kids running around and all that, and there's adult conversations, and you're meeting some nice people from around the country or around the world. And you may be casual conversation saying, how you doing, where you're from, what do you do for work, and that's it. But by the third day of that vacation, you're best friends like you've been friends like your whole life.
Yep.
It's like, what happened here? What was that switch where you said, I can share everything with this person? Mm-hmm. But we're on a phone call and we're accelerating that experience, not to last days, to last minutes, and sometimes even seconds. How do we get there? How do we become likable? How do we get them to trust us?
Let's make it about them.
Let's make it about them. That's right. So how do we do that? We go back to the questions, open-ended questions.
People love that. It's so simple. Well, the hard part is if you have an ego, you don't want it to be about them. And you start getting frustrated because you're just talking about them and you don't get to share your story. That's really the discipline. That was a discipline for me early on. It's like I'm asking these open-end questions, but geez, it's all about them. And it's not that interesting sometimes. And then sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. And I get in my head and I just have to go, no, there's a reason that I'm doing this. I'm on a mission because they want happiness and I have something that can provide that.
Yeah, Derek, I know we're running a little long here, and I want to stay on this because what you just said, and that's painful. Like, because honestly, Derek, most of the people, I'm sorry even saying this. I'm going to go to hell for this, right? I think, honestly, that most people I talk to are less interesting than I am.
I agree. You're very interesting. That's anybody to talk to. You're extremely interesting, man, and handsome.
Thank you, my friend.
It's almost November. I can't wait for the beard.
Yeah, it takes a handsome guy to recognize one for sure. Look at this. So if I'm going to be patient, I'm going to ask somebody questions I really don't care a lot about. I want to hear about their project, but these conversations end up all over the place and I have to listen to them. Every minute that I'm quiet, I see that cash register ringing. I see the dollar signs. The less I have to say.
Yeah.
So here it is. It's a game. It's a game I play in my head. If I shut up and ask the right questions, I'm going to be able to do a few things. One is I'm going to be able to fix their problem. They'll choose me. They'll pick me. I'll be likable.
Yep.
And they're going to pay me what I need. It doesn't matter what other people are charging, Derek. It doesn't become even a thing. They'll pay me more.
It's delayed gratification is what you just shared.
And you know, dude, like I said, it's painful to shut up and ask the questions and hear about them.
It's the... Yeah, sometimes it is. It's like, oh boy, they really needed to be heard today. And I don't have time for this. Like, right. Can you just give me money?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great if the conversation could Steve and Tom used to talk a long time ago. It's like if the phone rang and it was a red phone or the green phone, or it displayed the picture of how much money they have in the bank.
Yep.
And it's not the real world. Imaginary, it would work kind of cool. But hey, look, we got to wrap this thing up because this can go sideways real quick. Dude, Bring us, close us out.
There you go. So what did we talk about? We talked about making someone feel important. We light up that imaginary sign. You need delayed gratification, and you need to just let them feel interesting because they're going to share the information that's needed for you to solve their problem, to create happiness in their space, and everybody wins. Thanks, Tim.
I love it, brother. Be well. See you next week.
Later.